Okay.
Her name is Emily Adams.
Yeah.
And she wrote the book, Understanding Jamaican Patois.
How long ago?
1991 is when she actually, the book was published. But I was her agent on that project.
Wait.
Uh-huh. Huh. So understanding the African Jamaican language.
So where are you from?
Jamaica.
You're born here?
Kingston.
Kingston. Mm-hmm. Tell me your story, I'd love to hear.
I was born in Kingston. I left when I was a teenager and lived in New York and Los Angeles. And I returned to Jamaica in the 1970s. So when everybody was running away, I came back because I was all excited about democratic socialism. But that fizzled out. And that dream died. And I don't think the dream ever really was.
That dream died with Manley?
I think when I came back, I was very disillusioned with what they were doing. You know, I didn't think that they were really doing that. There were two Jamaicas. There was one that had people in Kingston that were talking about democratic socialism. And then I was in Montego Bay in the middle of the tourism industry. And that was about tourism. That had nothing to do with democratic socialism, except that tourists weren't coming because they were scared of Jamaica going communist. But I went back to the States and sort of, I really wanted to do organic farming. And so that was my dream. And I came back home and started doing that. And I still have the farm, even though I'm not farming right now, because my daughter was in her two last years of high school. And I had to be in Port Antonio because we live really too far. But I do my own festival called Fuis Sinting. I also take Jamaicans on trips to Africa every year. People who want to sort of reconnect with their roots. That's what I basically do. And I have a shop in Port Antonio that sells, what I like to say is like some of the best in Jamaican craft, not what you see in the craft market, and things from different parts of Africa.
So I'd like to visit your store sometime.
Oh yes, I'd love you to come there. I'm sure Denny will probably bring you back today.
And you know Sharon here with all of her interests in the plant environment of Jamaica.
Oh yes, yeah.
Amazing.
Yes.
So what sort of things do you grow? Did you grow?
Avocados, coconuts, and mint. But you specifically want to deal with it from the maroon aspect.
The reason I wanted to do that has to do with narrative story and law. Mm-hmm. Because the maroons go way back. They have this aspect of self-governance that's recognized and still continues. They were...
It's questionable.
It exists, though. It's questionable. But the fact is, in narrative terms, it's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fierce warriors who defeated the British and signed a legal document that obliged the British to recognize their right to basically live the life they wanted to live,
mm-hmm.
till the crops they wanted to till. And the only quid pro quo really was to stop the runaway
mm-hmm.
practice. So they became the British police almost for the slave plantations. And then Jamaica, when it became independent, assumed the obligations of Great Britain
mm-hmm.
under that treaty. So if I'm representing the Maroons, I would say Jamaica is obliged by treaty to recognize the right of the Maroons to till whatever crops they please.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like the legal claim.
But the fact that the Maroons are now involved in Jamaican politics. How do you view that? Since they now, to me that seems that they have given up their sovereignty and they are now involved in Jamaican politics.
I don't think legally they've ever been defeated in war or signed away their sovereignty. And so understand what I'm talking about is a way of understanding law.
Yes.
That's not just a matter of logic.
Uh-huh.
What we're doing is we're trying to generate a story that's got fun to it,
mm-hmm.
that people would talk about,
mm-hmm.
that has twists and turns and interest,
okay. mm-hmm.
and that at some point people could see mischief in.
Mm-hmm.
They could see, my God, maybe this is a way for Jamaica to move towards legalization.
Mm-hmm.
If we recognize the Maroons
mm-hmm.
as having that right,
mm-hmm.
and if we were to be generous with the idea of what is a Maroon, I mean,
mm-hmm.
who is and who isn't a Maroon? Are you a Maroon? No? You don't think you could bend and twist a little bit and find some Maroon in you?
Can I adapt as a Maroon?
It's interesting, because there, yeah, maybe Colonel might find some humor in it.
Uh-huh.
I know that Nigeria certainly would, the one that I'm invited to come on Sunday. He certainly would.
So what does the Colonel like? What moves the Colonel? What kind of currency persuades him?
It's hard to say because he's not the most popular colonel. I think people feel that he's not strong enough, not forceful enough. I think the thing that might be is his weakness is maybe what can work for you. He can be possibly swayed your way, which is probably will work in your favor.
And what would be swaying him in my way?
Explaining to him just exactly what you just told me.
Uh-huh.
Exactly what you just told me. Whereas maybe another colonel also, the colonel before him, Colonel Harris, even though Colonel Sterling is the colonel now, Colonel Harris was the colonel for many, many, many years. And he is, many people still look to him as the colonel. He is a writer. He has a wonderful sense of humor. He's blind. But he still types. He has such a wonderful sense of humor that you must meet Colonel Harris.
Could you introduce me?
Yes, I'm going to give all of whatever you need.
Does he live in Moortown?
He lives in Moortown.
So we might.
And he's always there.
Ah.
He's always there.
So this trip becomes even more attractive.
Yes, he's always there. He's always there. He would be able to see, he's someone who would be able to see that. I don't know if he's for the youth out, which probably he isn't because he's an old-timer. But in terms of like the way you said about law and all of that, that would be right up his alley. But the subject matter, no. That's interesting. I think Colonel Sterling would be more towards that, because he's a younger generation.
How does Colonel Sterling relate to media?
Okay.
He's uh-huh. happy to be a media personality?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how does he relate to Jamaican politics?
I think he's the area chairman for the People's National Party.
I see. So he's actually lined up with the party. If Siaga won, the colonel would say
no. That doesn't affect them.
It doesn't?
No.
And why wouldn't it?
Because he's not an elected politician.
Uh-huh.
No, he's not an elected politician under the Jamaican government. But in terms of being an organizer, he's an organizer for his particular area. I think he is. I'm not 100% sure. But I've heard people say that he's the area chairman. What do they call him then? No, he's a council. He's not elected, you know. But I think that he organized things in that area. He's like an organizer for the People's National Guard.
Are you at all familiar with American television?
Yes,
Do you know the program West Wing?
Yes,
It's currently a very popular program, basically a dramatization of the presidential Oval Office and goings on in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
The president in West Wing is Bartlet, President Bartlet.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to petition President Bartlet to recognize the rights of Maroons under the treaty and see if I can create a way of talking about the subject which is close to real but still unreal because the real folks seem to react very fast, and I think it would be more accessible to people and maybe a little funnier and something to talk about.
Yes, yes.
This is the way it went. So I'm wondering, does the Colonel have a dramatic sense at all? Is he into the rhetorical world? Or would he be too
Colonel
serious?
Colonel Harris.
Colonel Harris.
Colonel Harris.
Again.
Colonel Harris.
Again.
Colonel Harris.
So what sort of books does Colonel Harris write?
I think he's writing one there now. It's amazing to see this man. He's blind and he's on this old typewriter and he's just going, you know. I mean, and I'm sitting there and I'm saying, but he can't see. But he's typing away on an antique typewriter. And he does have a sense of humor. He really does. He's a one-of-a-kind person. That's the only way I can describe him. Loves to talk.
Sounds great.
Yeah, loves to talk. Colonel Sterling doesn't have he doesn't have the charisma. He doesn't have any of that. He's just a colonel.
I was feeling for my camera. Would you mind if I took your picture?
No, not that one.
Let me go get my camera.